Some remained on the picket line all night last night, or on the protest line down there at Harland and Wolff. It is beyond belief, isn't it, to be in a position whereby Harland and Wolff may finally be closing. It's teetered before, but it never actually went over the edge. Harland and Wolff up for sale amid serious financial problems at its Norwegian parent company, and the workers are hoping that at the very top politically something will be done. And the union representative is Susan Fitzgerald from Unite. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Frank.
Susan, living in hope, dying in despair is the old adage. How much hope is there among your 130 workers or so at Harland and Wolff?
There's huge hope here that the actions that the workers took yesterday and that are continuing on, and actually, according to workers here, will continue indefinitely until a resolution is found. Can't do anything other than inspire hope. The reality is that no one here can afford to shrug their shoulders and say, oh, that's sad, or quote market forces as a reason for this shipyard potentially going to the wall. So everyone here is engaged fully in a battle to save the job, save the yard. And by the way, every single conversation I've had with workers and union members this morning hasn't actually been about them so much. It's been about the idea of trying to preserve an opportunity to develop skills, a craft, decent jobs for young people right across this city and beyond going into the future. So when you have workers thinking not just about themselves but about next generations, that's hugely hopeful in my opinion. But you've got hope on the one hand and you've got anger and determination on the other. I wouldn't like to be going up against this workforce if I wasn't on the same side. That's the truth of it.
Well, who's on the other side? Are they angry with the Norwegian parent company? Are they angry with local politicians? I'm just wondering who they're most angry with, because, you know, I can glance one way and I can see Stormont from this crow's nest building in the City Quays area that I work in, and I glance the other way and I can see where you're doing your protest. And you just wonder, you know, Harland and Wolff is an icon of Belfast, indeed an icon of Northern Ireland, as is Stormont. But Stormont isn't there to help at this moment in time when Harland and Wolff's doors are about to possibly close. How does that reflect on our political leaders?
Yeah, I think it obviously reflects poorly. But the reality is here, this has been a situation that's been developing for a long period of time. And right now what people are angry at is that there's no political solutions emerging. There's certainly no management solutions emerging at this stage. So I think that's where people are getting frustrated, because we've engaged over the last number of weeks before there was anyone standing on a gate or occupying this shipyard. There was intensive efforts around the clock that the workforce were involved in, the reps here in Harland and Wolff, myself on behalf of Unite and Michael Mulholland on behalf of the GMB, with their respective unions weighing in there. We have left no stone unturned with government departments, Department of the Economy, various political representatives, and we're getting nowhere. We're coming up against the wall of bureaucracy about what can be done, what can't be done. So within the narrow confines of what the norm is and what can be done, there's no solution. So what we're saying, and we're echoing the points of our members here, is that the way to save the yard, the way to save jobs, is through nationalisation, or renationalisation, which is a more accurate and appropriate way of putting it. And there's a point in that, Frank, that it's not that long ago that this yard was nationalised. It shouldn't be that big a leap for people to conceive of doing it again and then actually act on that. And you'll be aware that the challenge from the workforce and from the unions is that Boris Johnson, when he visits here on Wednesday, should be prepared to make Harland and Wolff his first stop. And it's not just about the iconic nature of this shipyard. It's about losing a resource for the future. The dry dock here is the envy of shipyards right across the UK and Europe. It's got the largest dry dock in Europe, the sixth largest in the world. The resources and the skills and capabilities here, you're not going to match them. So the idea that people sit in their hands and on their political or administrative watch, they see this go down, to me that's inconceivable. Certainly it's not something that the workforce here or the trade unions will conceive of or sit idly by and watch happen. There's a major battle on here for jobs, for this yard, and for a future of young people in this city. It's all wrapped up in those three aims.
Yeah, it is an amazing resource. There's no question about that, with the largest dry dock, I think, anywhere in the British Isles, as you've suggested. Having said that, you make reference to the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, and he is possibly coming to Belfast tomorrow. It would be a wonderful photo opportunity, probably, for the Prime Minister to be seen to be on the ground talking to worried workers. It might be some form of feather in the cap for the DUP MP if he can bring Boris Johnson to talk to the workers. But you speak about the nationalising of the the shipyard. Is, you know, nationalising industry doesn't really go hand in hand with a Conservative government.
It doesn't, though. But the reality is that Boris Johnson can't, on the one hand, make grandiose speeches about harnessing the productive power within the UK and then watch as people are put out of work. Productive power is the labour of working people. You're not at work, you're not able to bring that to bear. So if he's in any way serious about productive power, he needs to understand what it is. It's the right from working class people engaging in labour and throwing this incredibly productive, capable workforce. There's all sorts going on here. Onto the dole is not productive, and it won't help him deliver on any of his objectives. So ideologically, it may make their skin crawl. We don't really care, to be honest. Whatever needs to be done to save these jobs, to save this shipyard, and save the future of this industry for young people and generations going forward, everyone should be prepared to step outside of their comfort zone on that. And by the way, the Scottish Government are drawing up plans as we speak to nationalise the Ferguson shipyard on the Clyde. They're hardly a revolutionary administration either, but they've seen the necessity of doing that to secure their industry, that industry, and the jobs and the future of the workers there.
And finally, Susan, what's the atmosphere like? It seems on a hot, sunny summer's day with the horns beeping in the background and workers, I think from pictures I've seen, sitting on blue chairs, they're pretty relaxed, but they must be worried. They must be concerned. But in the meantime, they're upbeat. They have a positive approach to what is, in many possibilities, a doomsday scenario.
People are upbeat because actually it's quite incredible when working people take matters into their own hands, and the ingenuity down here, like the setup in a matter of less than 24 hours, is quite incredible already. Leave aside the fact that the workers have the run of the place inside as well. But people will be worried. There's a perception that this is an old workforce, and there's people of a certain age, but there's plenty of younger workers. I spoke to a worker who left the job 7 weeks ago to take up employment here. I spoke to people who have young children living at home, who are struggling with mortgages, etc. So there's a huge amount of worry and trepidation, and that's why people have taken the step to take matters into their own hands as the only reliable source of strength. It's themselves and their organisations, the trade unions. So I think that's the mood of people here today, and it's determined, and it's not going to dissipate anytime soon.
So would you be worried about certain buyers coming in? Is nationalising the only option for you?
Well, in the last couple of weeks, we've been open to every conceivable option, and we've had bidders take things to the 11th hour, all singing, all dancing, plumbing.
Yeah, well, your line's broken up on us, Susan, just there at the last minute. But I think, as you're saying there, there's been hope, and then it has more or less disappeared, as you're saying, with the bidders taking things, all singing, all dancing to the final hour. I'll just let you finish that.
Exactly. There is some other people being spoke to at the minute, so we're open to any solutions emerging. But it's rapidly becoming the conclusion of this workforce, and I agree with it, that the main enduring solution here would be to nationalise the yard to save jobs and save this industry. But I think workers here will be open to all sorts of discussion. The number one thing we need in the short term is to get some time, to buy some time to allow solutions to emerge. That's the number one political ask, alongside intervening and investing in the future for the workers here.
Okay. Susan Fitzgerald from the Unite Union, thank you very much indeed. Your opinions on what you think will happen to that iconic name that is Harland and Wolff. 0289 0333 105. Good morning to you. This is the U105 phone-in. We're busy right through until the middle of the day.
U105 phone-in with Frank Mitchell, sponsored by Solarian Belfast, supporting SaveOurSunflower.com. Solarian, building a healthier future.
Say hi to Hughes, your local insurance broker. Every day we search our panel of leading insurers to find local customers our very best insurance deals. Great deals and big savings across every city, town, rolling country acre and epic coastal stretch of Northern Ireland. Say hi to your local broker today. Call us on 028 1990 1990 or search Hughes Insurance. Hughes, we've got you covered.
Hughes Insurance Services Limited, trading as Hughes Insurance, is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
Here's an announcement for those people prone to missing things. Missing the season finale, missing the bus, missing last orders, and missing the point.
Don't miss the massive summer DB Tiles and Bathroom Sale. The massive summer DB Tiles and Bathroom Sale means special discounts on brand new ranges throughout the store. High quality tiles and bathrooms at unmissably exciting prices. Got it? Visit DB Tiles and Bathrooms in Moira and Armagh showrooms now before you... well, miss it.
There's a long list of important things to experience when buying a Mazda. The beautiful exterior lines, the exquisite premium interior, the pedigree of a Le Mans winner, the renowned build quality, the legendary driving enjoyment, fantastic finance packages. Enjoy the full Mazda range from Mazda 2 to Mazda CX-5 and the all-new Mazda 3 at Ballyrobert Mollusc. Ballyrobert Mollusc for all your Mazda needs, sales, service and parts. Check out ballyrobertmazda.co.uk. Ballyrobert, a family business for over 60 years.
When I was diagnosed with atrial fibrillation, better known as AF, the most common type of irregular heartbeat in Northern Ireland, I wasn't particularly worried. I didn't realise it increases my chance of having a stroke by 5 times, but that is exactly what happened. I had a stroke. Thankfully, I survived, and now I'm helping local health charity Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke to raise awareness of AF to stop others having a stroke. To find out more, go to nichs.org.uk. Supported by MISS.
You can stare at it, invite friends round to boast about it, take pictures of it, then Instagram share it. But at Drumbriston the Sofa Maker, we think you should just luxuriate in it. Because a sofa from Drumbriston the Sofa Maker gives you something completely made to measure from a choice of over 1,000 fabrics and countless styles. With quality assured frames crafted in beech and a 25-year guarantee, so you've peace of mind while you relax. Visit us at Linen Green Dungannon or browse online at drumbristonthesofamaker.com.
I like Lidl for serious savings with up to 50% off their Super Savers. Big brands like Lynx Spray only £1.50 and Golden Baked Jam Bonds just £1. And Weekend Super Savers. Very Liquid Half Price now just 89p and Cashel 24 packs only £5.99. Stocked up for a tidy price.
Lidl. Big on quality, Lidl on price.
Fly from George Best Belfast City Airport to Carlisle Lake District up to 5 times a week. Discover stunning landscapes, sample exquisite food, and get a taste of adventure in the great outdoors. Get a 33% discount for children aged 2 to 11, including 20 kilograms luggage as standard. T's and C's apply. Book now at loganair.co.uk.
0289 0333 105 077 66 105 105. One of the other questions we're going to be asking you this morning is about Love Island. Did you thoroughly enjoy it? Did you watch every moment of it? Were you impressed by the winners? Are you the sort of person who really feels, goodness gracious, that is right up my street? We'll be talking about that later. You can explain to those who may not have seen it indeed that it was the programme to see, and really believing that it's something that is going to be a success next time round as it comes on stream for not one series but two series next week. All right, I want to speak to Liam, who's on this line. Good morning, Liam.
How you doing?
I'm very well, Liam. The shipyard, is it something that concerns you?
Yeah, of course. You know, I'm currently a student studying sustainability at the Gibson Institute of Queens, and we always look at repurposing and redefining. You've got 150 dedicated people there, obviously hardworking. You've got the most iconic setting. You've got 1.5 million people across the road every year. Surely there's something there that can be done.
you would like to think that something could be done, but maybe we're looking at it through romantic eyes, that the cranes are there, the name is there, the shipyard is associated with such a colourful history, a controversial history, an iconic history, a world-renowned history. And, of course, it provided employment for so many down through the years, and most importantly at this moment in time for 130 families who are depending on it at present. It has the ability to be great again, to spread its wings, to be involved in renewables, to be involved in the building of ships for the Navy. There's so much that could be done. But are we, as I say, looking at it through romantic eyes as opposed to dealing in the real world?
Well, tourism's the biggest growing industry in Northern Ireland. It's an exciting place. Everybody wants to come. Shipyards, if you did a market analysis or a situation analysis, you'll see the markets moved some years ago to Asia. So I think it's about looking at what new skills could be done. What can we do for Northern Ireland? Representing, there's a fantastic, massive spaces there that could be used for all sorts of things, especially for like the likes of museums. The likes of bringing people. You've got to be able to cater for all these people that are coming to Northern Ireland. Film industry, you know, it's there's so many things. Shipyard's gone. I think these people deserve to have to be re-educated. They deserve to have maybe an easier life than the work at the shipyard. The heritage of it's fantastic. The idea to create a museum around the shipyard, it's fantastic. Embrace it. But I think the market's gone. You've got to be realistic here. And 1.5 million people turn up within a couple of 100 metres. Can they not be harnessed?
And you don't feel that it'll be making turbines in the future or parts for warships. You don't see that. You've given up on that.
No, it's not a given up. But I think the times have changed. The sand has shifted. It's about looking to be relevant to the market that's happening right now. And Northern Ireland's exploded with tourism, embracing that. You talked about the fantastic history legacy. Where can you go find out and see that? Well, the Titanic building, of course. But that shipyard's got an incredible archive of things that happened. That could be displayed there. The people are just over there. 1 million people a year are a couple of 100 metres away. The tourists from all around the world. You want to show them some of the real powerhouse of Northern Ireland. They want to be part of that craze. Get them over there and they can embrace it. There's 150 people that could facilitate that area as a fantastic tourism destination.
Okay, Liam, thank you. If it did flourish like that, wouldn't it be wonderful? But painting the picture and delivering the product, two different things. 02890 333 105, easing our way through the day.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. You say one love, one life, when it's one need in the night. The leopards in your head.
We're talking about a shortage of chefs very shortly on the programme as well as Love Island, but the spotlight is on Harland and Wolff at the moment. Michael has an opinion on the shipyard. Good morning, Michael.
How about you, mate? How about you, Frankie?
Good morning, Michael, yes.
Are you well, sir? Are you well?
I'm very well, Michael. I am.
Go ahead.
Are you just getting out of bed, Michael? Are you are you aware that you're live on the radio?
Can you hear me, hey?
I can hear you, yes. I'll give you one more chance to tell me what you're about to tell me, or I'll have to move on.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know you were going to ask a question. I say pull it down to Hell's Gate, sir. You know, it's been had its time. They're complaining about houses all around the bikes, aren't they? Look at the ground that's sitting on doing nothing. Pull that down. Flatten it, put a bit of housing on it, and give the people a bit of housing. There's women crying they can't get their children for loving their money. It's only an eyesore now. Put it down, it's hard as day.
No idea what you're talking about, Michael. I'm sure someone can send us subtitles, possibly. If you're just joining us, good morning.
So, we all know that being single is great. You can take as long as you want to get ready. Binge watch 5 seasons, guilt-free. Cook whatever you want for dinner. Starfish in bed. For things to change, you'd need someone really special. Someone that makes you happier. Someone that changes your life for the better. Register with u105dating.co.uk, where we'll get to know you, then introduce you to people worth getting to know. Give it a shot. Click u105dating.co.uk.
U105 phone-in with Frank Mitchell. Sponsored by Solarian Belfast. Supporting SaveOurSunflower.com. Solarian, building a healthier future.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Can we get a new bed? Direct Furniture has 25% discount on all their beds and mattresses.
Direct Furniture has massive savings on all leading brands, including King Coil, Belfast's biggest bed shop, with over 1,000 beds in stock.
That's brilliant. But here, you know the way I only get to sleep in 25% of the bed. Does that mean I only need to pay for 25% of it?
Aye, right.
Direct Furniture, Falls Road, opposite the Kennedy Centre, and Antrim Road near Tesco's behind the Maxall, for great value in Belfast.
Treat yourself to an unforgettable day out to Glasgow or Ayr with Stanaline. Shop till you drop in fabulous boutiques, relax over lunch, or experience the fascinating history. With foot passenger day trips from an unbelievable £12 per person, book your day out with a difference at stanaline.co.uk. Conditions and booking fee may apply.
The stunning K Club in County Kildare, Ireland's Ryder Cup venue, features two Arnold Palmer Design Championship golf courses, and it's only a short 2 hours drive from Belfast. At the K Club, you can enjoy stay and play packages from just €225 per person sharing in five-star luxury. Visit kclub.ie for details.
I'm Sue Cook, and I'm here in the city investigating the PPI scandal. PPI was often hidden from customers like me, but I've come across the claims management company, Find Your PPI, that can even trace PPI when it's been hidden. I tried them myself, and sure enough, they found PPI I never knew I had from 30 years ago. You'll find them at findyourppi.com, and if you ask them for a trace now, you'll beat the deadline of the 29th of August. They only charge 20% plus VAT on successful claims, with no hidden fees. This is Sue Cook. Oh, taxi!
You can make your own claim without charge by going to fca.org.uk/PPI or via the Financial Ombudsman Service. You don't have to use a claims management company like findyourppi.com.
Parker Knoll Furniture is designed for function, designed for comfort, designed for style. And now at JJ Pearson Furniture, this luxury upholstery range is even more affordable because of our massive sale. Discover Parker Knoll, handmade in Britain with the finest materials and craftsmanship at the JJ Pearson Parker Knoll Centre of Excellence for handcrafted upholstery of the finest materials and artistry. It's the absolutely massive Parker Knoll sale. Now on at JJ Pearson, Main Armagh Road, Portadown, or see jjpearson.co.uk.
For the latest travel news, check u105.com or follow at u105 radio.
Tame the streets with the technology-packed Peugeot 208 Tech Edition. Ease into those restricted city spaces with Park Assist, colour reversing camera and front and rear parking aids. And with 0% APR finance now available, high tech has never been so effortless. The Peugeot 208 Tech Edition. Check it out at peugeot.co.uk/208. 18 plus finance subject to status, personal contract purchase. Peugeot Motor Company is a credit broker, not a lender. We will introduce you to PSA Finance UK Limited. Terms, eligibility and returns conditions apply.
I want to speak to Jimmy. Jimmy DeLargy, always with a business eye on what's happening across the country. Morning, Jimmy.
Morning, Francis.
Harland and Wolff, Jimmy. Do you hold out hope for these 130 workers?
Well, they're trying times for them. As we know, they're having this protest because there are fears among the workforce that administrators will be coming in tomorrow to take over the company. I understand that that is a definite risk, but I'm not sure that actually a date has been penciled in by anyone to do that sort of thing. But look, there's no doubt about it. They are in need of both long-term and short-term help. Their short-term requirement is for money to tide them over to the end of next month. I believe they're looking for in and around £500,000. That would equate to 4 weeks' wages. The reason why they're very specific about this this period is that would give them a chance to secure a renewable energy contract which is out there, which they might be able to get hold of, and also some work on some naval work that's been talked about, where the Royal Navy is building these frigates. So there's the possibility they might get some of that business, but the problem is, of course, if they're not in business, then that would present huge difficulties. The one of the biggest problems, and I'm not sure it's been talked about very much up to this point, is the fact is that there's a very substantial pension deficit. So if you're a bidder and you're thinking, I would like to take over this company, you inherit basically a £20 million bill that is to cover the deficit in the pension fund. So the temptation will be to bide your time. And there are talks with a number of bidders around the world. Those talks are ongoing. But if you're a bidder, you would probably want to see that liability disappear. And the way you would do that is hold off until the company does go into administration. At that point, the pension transfers into the Pension Protection Fund. and then you walk in without that liability. Now, there, I'm not necessarily suggesting it's even that simple for a bidder to do that, but at the same time, you stand a better chance to avoid the liability, which might be pretty crippling to someone coming in, and it certainly would be amazing and a massive deterrent to a sale. So I really think that the chances of a white knight, so to speak, coming in before it goes into administration is relatively slim. But you know, it's not impossible. What might happen, of course, is that the company could be renationalised. That's of course their appeal at the moment. And I mean, it was only privatised 30 years ago in 1989. So the renationalisation of the company would not be beyond the bounds of possibility. The Scottish Government is supposed to be drawing up plans to nationalise a shipyard on the Clyde. Ferguson's it's experiencing some financial problems. So you think, well, if they can do it in Scotland, of course that's the Scottish Government doing it, there might be the possibility of the same thing happening here. The DUP would imagine would have some leverage with Boris Johnson at this time, and might well be saying to him, look, you know, sauce for the gander, if they can do it in Scotland, why can't you do it here? You wouldn't be talking, I wouldn't have thought, a huge amount of money, because essentially when you're talking about, yes, I mentioned the pension deficit, but that's, if you imagine you're a government, you've got the problems to keep the pension deficit fund going yourself. So the government has responsibility for that, ultimately. So in a sense, taking over the company simply means taking over something that might otherwise fall to an arm of the government, namely the pension protection fund. If you see the logic of my argument, they in a sense might find it easier to step in at this stage than someone else. But whether they do or they don't, it's in the lap of the gods.
Do you think the Prime Minister will press the flesh with those workers tomorrow, or is it not seen as a photo op for someone like Boris to be down among the boiler suits?
Well, unless he's going to do something, he won't be within a mile of it. You know, in my estimation, he's hardly going to turn up, listen to their appeals, and then walk away. It's possible he might, but I would have thought that if he's coming and he is not proposing to do anything at all, I mean, if he's just shut his mind against any form of substantial bailout, I can't see him turning up at the yard. What would be the point? He would only be sending out the wrong message. So if he turns up at the yard, I'm not saying he'll do a deal, but he would be open to doing a deal. Otherwise, there's no point.
The image at the moment of the workers in the suits, on the chairs, at the gates, does that play to their advantage or disadvantage for working in relation to a future employer?
Well, that's a good point, because you would think if you're selling yourself as a proposition, as a working proposition, as an organisation. Now, I understand why they want to do that. They're having a protest. It is an ongoing protest, but they're having a formalised meeting at 12 o'clock. There'll be a number of union speakers. And we may hear more from their point of view, but you know, from if you're trying to sell yourself as an excellent opportunity for, you know, for a bidder, you might think that it would be better to be in there working. Now, I totally understand why they feel, and there is a certain logic to draw an attention to your plight. If you're working away quietly and not making a fuss, then people don't bother with you. If you create a stir, then it draws in the cameras and maybe forces politicians to act. But at the same time, you might think that there is an attraction in staying within the company and working away at whatever you have to do.
Interesting text here from someone who I presume gets the sense that it's Queen's Island that's up for sale. The texter says, Frank, the shipyard, how much has it been sold for? Did the shipyard not belong to the Belfast people? Are there not rules and regulations with regards to the shipyard garden and Belfast Harbour looking after it? There's much more to that real estate down there than Harland and Wolff. I think that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, all of that, in a sense, all of that land is owned by the public, if you like, and through the whole Belfast Harbour estate, not just on that side of the river, but also on the other side. I mean, it's a massive thing. I think it's something like 2,000 acres. And essentially, I'm not sure how you would necessarily describe them as tenants, but they would have a lease. But ultimately, that land is owned for the public good. But at the same time, Harland and Wolff will probably have a very long lease on that land. What happens in circumstances where it goes into where it might go into administration, I'm not clear about. But yes, that whole area is always, has been and will presumably continue to be owned as part of the whole estate, which remains, if you like, in public hands.
Okay, Jamie, thank you very much. Jamie DeLargy with his eye on Harland Wolff, and a man who'll certainly be keeping both eyes on it at the moment is the MP for the area, Gavin Robinson. Gavin Robinson, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
What can you do for the 130 workers that you're liaising with at the moment?
What we can do in the short term, and I say short term, I mean the next 24 hours, is to try and get progress on the financial request that the company made last week. That request was there to try and buy a window of time to enable them to secure a bidder for the longer term. So that request was made, and those discussions are ongoing. And you can imagine that over the last week, 10 days, the engagement has been quite extensive with permanent secretaries within departments here in Northern Ireland, and indeed with some of the Westminster representatives as well.
Have you spoken to the Prime Minister in any detail about it?
Not personally, with the Prime Minister directly on this issue, but through advisers. I have delivered the message and the request. I know that the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland has been engaged in this as well. I raised it with him yesterday in person and spoke to him on Thursday and his advisers on Friday last week to make sure that, although he was just appointed, he was acutely aware of the short time frame in which there is to give that breathing space that Harland and Wolff needs today.
Because of the iconic status of Harland and Wolff, because of the protest and indeed the whistle-stop tour by the Prime Minister of the regions and the linkage between the Prime Minister and his party's dependency on the DUP, do you think you'll be able to encourage him to visit those workers tomorrow?
Well, I think I was asked that question earlier this morning, Frank, and I think it was very clear to say that I do not control the Prime Minister's diary. But what I can say is the Prime Minister is aware of this issue, and he is, and you can be assured of this, he knows how important it is for us.
And how important is it for those 130 workers? Because there will be some people saying, actually, it's not the old shipyard. This is just 130 workers. And I say just in inverted commas, but other places have closed that have had more workers.
Yeah, and I get that, and you're right. I mean, 132, they're individuals. So in speaking with them this morning, you hear the fears that they have, the impact that redundancy would have for them personally and their families. But whenever the work is there, that is the core workforce of 132. When the East Anglia One project concluded in the last 2 months, the workforce was up at 700 and 800, and over the course of the last year, there's been contracts brought in that have brought the workforce up to the thousands. And there has been an ebb and flow of that temporary work available for the shipyard over the last period of time. So the numbers of employees that are engaged and the potential to engage further is incredibly significant. The core workforce is 132 does not represent the core potential of the shipyard when it's in operation.
No, and I don't want you to go to the default position of blaming Sinn Féin here. I want you just to answer the question that I'm about to ask you. How embarrassing is it for Northern Ireland that at a crisis time for the shipyard, we don't have an executive?
Well, I think it. I think we need to see a return to Stormont, and I think that this process could have been assisted with Stormont had it been in place. But I'm not going to criticise Sinn Féin, Frank, even though you introduced the question in that way. In fact, 2.5 weeks ago, whenever the unions and management called a meeting with politicians, it was only myself and representatives of Sinn Féin that turned up. And they have been engaged in trying to assist the workforce at Harn na Wolf as well, and involved in those discussions that we've had over the last number of weeks. So there's no criticism there. I think there's a recognition not only of the economic impact for the workers involved and for the company, but the iconic status of the shipyard and the potential for future growth, that we recognise the importance of this yard. And the reasons for protecting it.
But because of those two main parties, Sinn Féin and the DUP, there's no executive up there, and these people could be sacrificed as a result of the closing gates.
Well, you've asked me not to. No, they're not. They're not responsible for the closing gates. You've asked me not to criticise others, but then you want to get into the issues around devolution. I've been involved in the talks. We want to see Stormont returned. We think that Northern Ireland benefits most from having locally devolved government and people locally elected here engaged in and managing our affairs. That is the prize, and that's what I hope we will see at the conclusion of the talks process. That's not going to deliver in the short term for Harn na Wolf, and that's why our efforts have been engaged with the Department of Finance, Invest Northern Ireland, the Department of Economy, and the Secretary of State to get the breathing space that the shipyard asked from us last week.
And finally, Gavin Robinson, are the workers doing the right thing by being outside in the boiler suits on the blue chairs?
I think given that there is the potential for the company to go into administration tomorrow evening, they are doing what they feel they need to do to highlight the issue and to gain support. And I know from sitting here, as cars go by, they're getting continued support from the public. I think people recognise the importance of the shipyard and the history of Harn na Wolf, and they want to see it succeed.
Okay, Gavin Robinson, really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much indeed, the MP for East Belfast. If you're just joining us, good morning, 0289 0333 105.